Well, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And I believe in being honest about the truth of God's word. And so that's the reason, down through the years, I've been telling it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach. I'm not here, my friend, to please the listener. I'm here to please Almighty God. In Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, "Do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Again, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "We are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts." So friends, I've got to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware that most people today don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you. And it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved and have never been born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God, in whose hand your very breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, please give heed to God's word today. Yes, and accept His Son as your own and personal Savior. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son, Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee for His great heart of love that took Him all the way to Calvary's cross and there to die in our guilty room and in our stead. He was the just one dying for we the unjust, so that He might bring us back to Thee. Now, Father, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace so that others might hear the truth of God about to go forth in Thy will. We ask Thy blessing upon Thy word and claim Thy promise that it shall not return void. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune I'm sure that's known to all of you listening in, and it's the well-known Amazing Grace. I, for one, sure thank God today for His amazing grace. It was his amazing grace that reached and saved me back on June the 2nd of 1952. Now, friends, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading two verses from Matthew chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and I'll begin reading at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, I'm sure you'll agree with me that there are many questions in the Word of God, and the fact that they're in the Bible makes them important, or they wouldn't be there. I think of one of the first questions we read about in Scriptures, and it's found back there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. After our first parents had sinned against God by transgressing his word and will, by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they sought to hide from God their Creator amongst the trees of the garden. But we read there in Genesis 3 and 9, where the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" My, what a solemn question. Where art thou? Friend, let me ask you today, where art thou? You say, "Why, I'm riding along in my automobile, or I'm at home making breakfast or dinner or supper," whatever you may be doing. Friend, listen, I'm not talking about where you are physically. I'm asking the question, where are you spiritually in the sight of a holy God? You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on the narrow road to heaven, or else you're on the broad road to hell. You're either a child of God through faith in Christ, or you're still a child of the devil, a child of wrath, and a child of disobedience. So that's a very important question we find at the very beginning of the book. Where art thou? I think of another verse of Scripture over in Isaiah 33 and verse 14. And there we have two questions, and they too are very important. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Tell me, friend, those of you who are listening out in Radio Land today, how many of you are going to dwell in the everlasting burnings in hell and the lake of fire? Solemn thought, is it not? Then I think, too, of a question that is asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, again in Matthew's Gospel, this time chapter 23 and verse 33. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Now, mind you, he's speaking to the religious leaders of that day. And I believe that if he were here on earth today, he could very easily do the same thing to the so-called religious leaders of today. He could ask them the same question. "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Then I think of that question back there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Friend, there is no escape if you refuse to accept God's love and mercy and grace expressed in the death of his Son at Calvary's cross. Then there's absolutely no escape. Now, friends, I'm not asking you today what you think of the great political leaders of the past. I'm not asking you today what you think of the Protestants, the Catholics, the Jews, or the Charismatics. No, my friend. I'm asking you the simple question that Jesus Christ asks. What think ye of Christ? I'm not asking you what you think of the IRA, the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the PLO. Again, it makes absolutely no difference insofar as eternity is concerned, what you think of these organizations. The question today, and you must answer it, is what think ye of Christ? Now, is there any question in your mind as to the fact that Jesus Christ was a great teacher? If so, let's listen to what we read in John 3 and verse 2. Here's what Nicodemus had to say. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Later on in John's Gospel 7 and verse 46, we read, "Never man spake like this man." Listen, my friend, he was a great teacher, all right. In fact, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 46, we read of how he was at the age of 12 teaching and listening to the great men of his day in the synagogue. At the age of 12. Later on in Luke 4 and verse 32, we read that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power. Yes, Jesus Christ truly was a great teacher. Now, perhaps there are some of you who are saying, well, I also believe he was a great preacher. And again, there should be no question about that. All you have to do is to read the great Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, to know that he was the greatest preacher that ever lived. You talk about the great preachers of yesteryear and today, Knox, Moody, Spurgeon, Ironside, as well as others we could mention. Friend, I would rather spend 5 minutes at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to those words of wisdom fall from his gentle lips, than to spend all eternity listening to the so-called great preachers of yesteryear and today. Yes, he was a great preacher. But tell me, my friend, what think ye of Christ? Some of you will say, well, I believe he was a great physician. He surely was a great physician. Why, there was no such thing as an incurable disease with the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you never read where he ever preached a funeral. No, he could give sight to the blind. He could give hearing to the deaf. He could give voice to the dumb. He could cure all those who were sick and lame and leprous. He can even raise from amongst the dead those who had died. He was a great physician. But tell me, friend, what think ye of Christ? Some might say, well, he was a great comforter. And again, there should be no question about that either. Why, over in John chapter 11, you recall how the two sisters, Mary and Martha, were grieving because their brother Lazarus had died. But friend, I read in verse 43 of John 11 that the Lord Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. And did he come forth? You better believe it. Yes, he brought comfort to the grieving sisters of Lazarus. And he did the same thing to the widow of Nain over in Luke chapter 7. She had already lost her husband, and she had one son left. And here we read that she also lost her only son. And she must have been grieving as she led that funeral cortege to the gravesite. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came on the scene, and he put his hand upon the stretcher, and he said, arise, young man. And did he arise? He surely arose. Yes, he was a great comforter. But tell me, friend, what think ye of Christ? Now today, in the time remaining, let's assume that we've got a courtroom scene before us, and we're going to call witnesses to the stand, those who are not only enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also his friends. Now, the first witness we call to the stand is the Pharisee. Oh, these were the most religious people in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew all about the Old Testament scriptures, and they made long prayers. Yes, they were religious hypocrites. So we asked the Pharisee to take the stand and ask him the question, what think ye of Christ? Well, in Luke 15 and verse 2, here's what he said. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, listen, Pharisee, you're telling the truth. Why, had the Lord Jesus Christ not received sinners, he would never have received me and brought me into the family of God. But you had more than that to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, when he was hanging on the cross, what did you say in Luke 23 and verse 35? He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Friend, listen. If the Lord Jesus Christ had come down from the cross, there would be no salvation for you and I today. No, he had to die. He was born to die. And I thank God that he died for me at Calvary's cross. Now let's call another witness to the stand. Let's call Caiaphas. He was the high priest at the time of the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask Caiaphas, what think ye of Christ? Now Caiaphas said to the Lord Jesus Christ at the trial, in so many words, here's what he said. Will you please tell us one way or another, are you the Son of God? And the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 26 and verse 64, he says, now you say I am. However, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. Oh, what a statement to make. It was then, Caiaphas, that you tore off your clothes. You said, what further proof need we? This man's a blasphemer. He'll have to die. Ah, listen, my friend, whether you realize it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ today is seated at the right hand of his Father God in glory. And I could give you many scriptures to prove it. I'll just mention a few. In Hebrews 1 and 3, Hebrews 8 and 1, Hebrews 10 and 12, and Hebrews 12 and 2, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of his Father God. while we read of his ascension over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. The two men in white apparel following the ascension of Christ as he was caught up into heaven, they said to the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Why, listen, my friends. If Jesus Christ were not at the right hand of the Father God in heaven today, I would have no great high priest. I would have no advocate. I would have no intercessor. Why, the only mediator between me and my heavenly Father God is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, take him away from the right hand of God, and the doctrine, that blessed doctrine of the blessed hope, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be completely void. No, my friend, there is a man seated in glory today, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now we call another witness to the stand, and he was the governor at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ living on earth, and his name was Pilate. And he was a real politician. He wanted to please everyone. We ask Pilate a question, "What think ye of Christ?" In Luke 23 and verse 4, he says, "I find no fault in this man." In verse 14, he says, "I, having examined him before you, find no fault in this man." And in verse 22, he says, "I find no cause of death in this man." That's what he had to say relative to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could find no fault in this man, and neither he could. Why? Because he was God expressed in human form. Yes, he knew no sin. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. Now we ask Pilate's wife what she thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the one, you know, who sent the note to Pilate while he was judging the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment scene. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, here's what was in the note. "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" She had to call him a just man. "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Yes, Pilate said that he was without fault, and no cause of death could be found in him. And Pilate's wife had to acknowledge that he was a just man. In fact, five verses later on in Matthew 27 and verse 24, even Pilate had to call him a just person. And in Acts 7 and verse 52, Stephen called him the just one. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, we read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust." Why? So that he might bring us to God. Yes, that's what Pilate and Pilate's wife had to say regarding the person of God's Son. He was a just man, and no reason why he should die. Now we call another witness to the stand. The man called Judas. 2.5 years he was with the Lord Jesus Christ as one of the disciples. He saw him perform all these miracles. He heard him make those wonderful statements that he did throughout the Gospels. And yet, my friend, even though he was the trusted one, he was the treasure of the disciples, he kept the bag, as the Scripture says. We read that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. We call Judas to the stand and we ask him the question, "What think ye of Christ?" And he gives us the answer in Matthew 27 and verse 4. "I have betrayed innocent blood." Yes, he had to acknowledge that he had betrayed innocent blood. And it's without the shedding of that blood that there can be no remission for sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. So we ask another witness to take the stand, and it's one of the thieves on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. You recall how he was crucified, a malefactor on one side and a malefactor on the other. But we ask one of the thieves at Calvary, "What think ye of Christ?" And in Luke 23 and verse 41, here's what he says, "This man hath done nothing amiss, and neither he had." No, the thieves, they were being justly put to death. They had broken the laws of God and men, but not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. "This man hath done nothing amiss, and neither he had." And if we were to ask the centurion who was at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary what he thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one that no doubt gave the orders to put those spikes into his blessed hands and feet as he was uplifted on the cross between heaven and earth. And here's what the centurion said following the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. In Mark 15 and verse 39, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." That was his testimony to the person of the one who hung on that center cross at Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Listen, my friend, if we were to call the demons to the stand, they're the emissaries of the devil, Satan. If we were to call them to the stand, what would they say? In Mark 5 and verse 7, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God." And in Luke 4 and verse 34, we find those same demons, and they were in the synagogue. And here's what they said. And they were speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." So there it is, just a few of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all had to acknowledge that he was holy, he was harmless, he was just, he was undefiled, he was innocent, he had done nothing amiss, he was truly the Son of God. And yet, my friend, and yet, they crucified him at Calvary's cross. Friend, let me ask you before I go any further, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Now, let me mention very briefly what some of the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. We called John the Baptist to the stand. He was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we asked John the Baptist, "What think ye of Christ?" And in John 1 and verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We asked Peter what he thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16 and verse 16, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was the one who was preaching there in Jerusalem at Pentecost. And in Acts 2 and 36, he says, "God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's the one that makes that declaration in Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved." Yes, Peter had to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now let's call the disciple John, the beloved disciple. Let's call him to the stand and ask him the question, "What think ye of Christ?" Now, friends, in the Gospels, Matthew presents Jesus Christ as a king. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. Ah, but this man, John, he picks up his pen and with one bold stroke, he settles for all eternity the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1, beginning at verse 1, here's what we read. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Then in verse 14 we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, the disciple John knew the Lord Jesus Christ and who He was. The Son of God. In John 20 and verse 31, here's what he says. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now we ask Thomas, the so-called doubting to Thomas. We ask Thomas, "What think ye of Christ?" And here's what he says in John 20 and verse 28, after the Lord Jesus Christ reappeared to the disciples in the upper room. He says, "My Lord and my God." That's what he thought of Jesus Christ. "My Lord and my God." We ask Paul the disciple, the apostle, and we ask him. Now mind you, he at one time had been a fervent persecutor of Christians. But we ask Paul, "What think ye of Christ?" Why, soon after he got saved, we read in Acts 9 and in verse 20 that straightway he went into the synagogue and preached Christ unto them, that he is the Son of God. Yes, neither wonder he could say in Philippians 1 and 21, "For to me to live is Christ." He lived Christ. When you think of what he suffered, what we read of his sufferings over there in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 28, I'll tell you, my friend, if anyone knew the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the man called Paul. Yes, the great apostle that gave us at least half of our New Testament scriptures. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Now, if it were possible today for us to ask the angels the question, what think ye of Christ? What answer would they give? Well, in Luke 1 and verse 32, the angel Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. 3 verses later on, he says, That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And at his birth, you recall how the angels declared in Luke 2 verses 10 and 11, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what the angels had to say regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we were to speak to the redeemed saints, those in heaven today who've already passed from time into eternity because they've been saved by the grace of God, they're in heaven today, and we ask the saints of God in heaven, what think ye of Christ? Here's what we read in Revelation 1 and 5. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. That's what they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in Revelation 5 and verse 12, here's what they're singing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Friend, I reverently now call God to the stand. And I ask God, what think ye of Christ? And in Mark 1 and verse 11, he says, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ah, yes, my friend. Those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ the best had to acknowledge that he was holy. He was truly the Son of Almighty God. But there's one more witness I would call to the stand, and that witness is you. You listening out in Radio Land today, whether you realize it or not, actively or passively, you're answering the question, what think ye of Christ? And friend, your soul's eternal destiny will be determined by how you answer the question. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 we read, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.